Jesus.
Thank you for reminding me. And so at the end of Thursday's prayer commission, yesterday we talked about Yisrael. We talked about Yisrael. The people have a misconception of what a miracle is. A very strong misconception. They think that nature, the way things normally are, that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's fixed. And there's no upkeep. I'm not using the word. There's no upkeep. People think there's no upkeep. God made it. And there's no upkeep. Things fall down because God decided that many years before. So something falls down. And helium balloons go up because in the 6 days of creation, God decided that helium is lighter than air. And God created it. And that's the way nature goes. And when Hashem wants to make a miracle and make a helium balloon go down, so Hashem makes a decision, a snap decision, and it comes down. That's the way we think. So the Rosh Hashanah in the Sefer tells us that that is totally 100% the real world of hope. Yes, I'm the one with it.
Doesn't the word nature have
in it Hashanah
something?
Not Tabra, it's the same for Matri as Elohim. The word Tabra is Begrachi 86. Not Tabra, he tells the ways I will figure out a word. A is 5, test is 9, it's 14. Rays is 2, that's 16. Iron, 70, 86. Okay. God is in nature. Well said. Well said. It's God in nature. So in the Sefer, he explains that there's no such thing as anything that was created and that exists on its own. The most thing is continuity, what's it called, ensured continuity. There's nothing called something that its existence is guaranteed. From one moment to the next, when everything is constantly being recreated, but generally, with very few exceptions, every time that God recreates something or someone or some place, God recreates it exactly the same as it was a moment before. So God is constantly recreating the Malach that creates rocks. I'll simplify, right? God is constantly recreating the Malach that creates rocks. It's a constant process. Well, creation, you understand? So recreating is you do creation again. And again. And again. And again. Yes. And that Malach has the exact same properties. And he has the exact same abilities and the exact same powers. And the Malach, and part of it is that the Malach is given the ability to create a physical rock. Because we said God doesn't create physical things directly. The Malach creates a physical rock. And the properties of the rock is that it's hard. Rock come in contact with head, ouch. And God does that over and over again to everything in creation. When God decides it should be a miracle, so God, there's a different series of Malachim. But they, over, you know, they overcome the natural way of doing things. And God, when he recreates the rock that time, he recreates it according to a different set of rules. But we gave the example of Kriyas Yamsu. So Kriyas Yamsu holds water. And water has properties that it flows. And it always goes to the lowest point. And then you can put your hand through it. It's just there's less resistance than water. And then you put your hand through and you penetrate it. And you take your hand out and then the hole blows up. And you put it in a circular bowl, it's circular. You put it into an octagon bowl, and it's octagon. These are all the natures of water. And God is constantly doing that. He's constantly doing that. And then at the time of Kriyas Yamsu, God is constantly recreating it, and he recreated again. But then the rules changed. The Malach was given the power to create it as a ruler. And according to the Medrash, it had 12 channels. And in the 12 channels, there were fruit trees growing. And the ground was normally ground that was saturated with seawater is muddy. But this is like a paved road. And that was the creation done. So the sort of devil is that the process of constant recreation is a miracle. This is a miracle itself. What was he saying? There was once a professor that came to the Chofetz Chaim. Well, this professor was a big apothecary. There's a tomorrow, there's Lapicolis, and the Berryman, the Berryman, and he was like, his specialty was the force of nature, he studied the effects of wind, and wind and the natural forces, and the physical elements. And he had a theory, it was a theory, a thesis, which he had ample evidence that the natural forces of the world are aligned in such a way that the normal scheme of things, the Red Sea, specifically the Red Sea, the Yamsa, flows on the other sea, that you know, at certain points in creation, certain points in the history of the Red Sea, there's a shifting of the Tetana plate. I'm not exactly sure if we use the Tetana plate, but I'm using it as the Tetana shift. And then in conjunction with that, there's certain natural forces exerted, gravity, wind, and the center of the sea is beset with opposing forces that they confront each other, and then it causes a cataclysmic collision, and the water is affected by these forces that they exert upon each other, and they cause it for a short amount of time to rend them asunder and to leave the bottom of the sea as if, you know, it's empty of water and is there based on natural phenomena. And he said, well, he did a study of this, and he must have been a truly brilliant person. And he said that based on his calculations, all these forces would have come into play exactly at the moment of historically the Jewish people, the bottom of the tribe.
Yeah.
And he can... So he came to the Chafetz Chaim, he had a briefcase with his papers, and he first his way in there, and the Chafetz Chaim threw him out. And the people around him threw him out. You didn't come to the Chafetz Chaim without the canvas. You come to the Chafetz Chaim with such rules and such heresy, and you think that you're going to make any sort. Well, you're trying to have a debate with him, and you're going to make some kind of impact, and he's going to accept what you say. Tell him in the Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he did it. It's written in the Bible. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to everything he said, and he had tremendous input from this person's wisdom. And he thanked him. Do you know the story? Oh, God. And he thanked him. Now, did you tell a story? It was written in the book. It was in the weekly newspaper, the Friday newspaper. I told my mom, the story section, can't tell stories anymore. And in the Chafetz Chaim, he left, and the Chafetz Chaim was uplifted mood, and he asked him, why? He said, you don't understand. I always thought, until this professor came into this room, because Baruch Hu runs the world, because Baruch Hu runs the world according to nature, and at the moment the Hashem decided to change nature, he changed it, the B'nai Hashem, he did. It's about to, you know, they're about to drown or get killed by the sword. Hashem wanted to save the Jewish people. He split it. And what's a miracle? And what's the chesed of Hashem? And we got to be grateful for that. And we say, hey, what's such a thing? But now I understand. My understanding of it is so much more enhanced. Because the way this professor found it, because Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people so much, and they're so important to the world, that when Hashem created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the creation of the world the forces, the natural forces of Bidach HaTava, that the timing, this is exactly what you said.
What?
What Robert said? Roberto?
That
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he set into motion a process that would culminate at the exact moment when the B'nai Yisrael are standing there awaiting salvation. It splits, they get saved. It doesn't split, they die. If it splits too late, they're going to be dead before they can go in. If it splits too early, it'll close while they're in there. So how much more so the God is supposed to have come to life?
Time, I believe what the guy said?
I don't know if he believed it, but the very fact that that science says such a thing is something to be appreciated. I don't know if he believed it. I don't know if he gave it the status of divinatory. Science! It's a theory! It's a thesis! But if a scientist comes up with a thesis, that if it's true, demonstrates a tremendous importance that the B'nai Israel have in creation. But the very roots of creation, the process already began for creation, so that's something which should be appreciated. Whether it really happened that way or not, I don't know whether the Chabad Chaim believe whether it really happened that way. I doubt it. But this is true. We're learning Sefer Yom now. We're like a group of young budding Talmidei Chachamim. We're learning Sefer Yom now. The animal swallowed up by the fish. Yoma, the animal swallowed up by the fish. Yoma. The animal swallowed up by the fish. It was a fish. It was a big fish. It doesn't say anywhere Chazal was about. Where's where was it? Was it
2 hours?
Yes, I doubt if it was a whale. Because the places that Moana visited with this fish, I doubt if it was a whale. What about it? So it was a big fish. The
mattress
was
sitting inside.
Who's chilling in the fish?
How is that possible?
Next year. You'll learn next year. When you come to the show next year, you'll learn. But this year, I'll tell you. But the Majesty, where did this fish come from? Shoshish and Mary Gracious.
No,
it was not the Viyasin. Because the Majesty says that he said the Viyasin. So he was not the Viyasin. Shoshish and Mary Gracious. Now, Shem Kid. That's another fish that was created in the 60s. Yes, that's also a big fish. That fish is bigger than the honest fish.
I heard it's like half the size of the water
in
the world.
Well, it's
big. It's pretty big.
Half the size of what?
Or the water in the world?
Well, I would say it's big. But we don't know the water in the world. It's just places unexplored territory. The underwater of the world. But the youngest fish, Hashem made a fish in the 6 days of creation. And that fish has no purpose for thousands of years. At least 2,000 years. Until Yonah comes on the scene. What's that fish doing all the time? He's waiting for Yonah's great-great-great-great-grandfather to eat more, you know, until Yonah's born. They're bigger and bigger. And then finally, when the sailors take Yonah, they chuck him off the boat, he's flying in the air, into the zoom, straight into the fish. It was created for Shesh and made gracious. So anything of importance, anything that the world depends upon, anything that without this thing there'd be no wars, was there for Shesh and made gracious. So to say creation was there for Shesh and Mei Bereishis? It was. Whether it was there the way the scientists proposed, I don't know. But definitely there was something there for Shesh and Mei Bereishis. Because it was constantly recreating the world. And when Hashem wants to know, so it's a process of creation. It's part of the process of creation. It's co-creation. So Mace is creation. Nature is also creation. Creation is by Elohim. Malakim is Megamatria, Hateva. So gracious Bara, Hateva. Do you understand? That means the Teva is constant creation. I'm very glad you said that. But that's a Megamatria. It's a very important Megamatria for us. So I'll tell you another mouser. I once asked my Rebbe, a very big Rebbe, God in his kindness blessed me with a very big Rebbe. He was way above anything that I would ever be capable of, you know. He allowed access to a shiur to people that are way below, you know. But if you learn by Rebbe, he knows a little more than you. Well, see, you have a long way to go until you know as much as you were doing, but it's conceivable. When something like that happens, you should grow bigger than your bones. But I remember when it was not conceivably possible. Maybe it was, but it wasn't conceivably possible. He was so big, he was so huge. His name was Rabbi Mordechai Gifton. There was one of the Gedolei Ador. And Rav Hashem, I had this chutzpah, I had a kasha, I was able to go over to him and ask him. And besides being a bonus day, he was a very holy Jew also. He was powerful. He affected the entire world. Rabbi Gifter, Rabbi Mordechai Gifter. He didn't just have an impact on his yeshiva, his talmidim. He affected the entire world. When he roared, the world trembled. Literally. When he had to speak, when he was flown in to speak about a certain issue, his speech reverberated throughout the world. Whether people accepted it or were incensed by it, he did take some people up because he said the truth. It was like a shockwave throughout the world. And I asked him, Michelle, Balaam was a Russia. He was also a prophet. The Midrash tells us that God gave Balaam as a present to the Goyim. Because they claimed, how much could you expect of us? The Jewish people, they have Moshe, so he's a good example. He tells them what to do, and they
have
it all.
Yeah, we didn't have a
Moshe. Let's also give him a Balaam. I mean, the kasha is, Balaam was such a Russia that you wonder why they couldn't say to Hashem, we asked for a Moshe, we didn't ask for a Balaam. But that's another discussion. But they got, for wonderful ways, they got Balaam. So Balaam, he goes to curse the Jewish people. He's on top of his donkey. He's going to curse the Jewish people. The donkey is going and going and going and going, and suddenly he crosses them. No. He's going and going and going, and they come to a narrow road, and there's an angel with a flaming sword in the middle of the road. The donkey sees the angel. Balaam doesn't see the angel. That's what the Gemara says. It was a very humbling experience for Balaam. That his donkey saw, but he didn't see. It was his donkey who was on a higher level than Balaam. Okay, the donkey sees, he goes around the angel. Balaam doesn't know why he's doing that. He gives him a zit. They go right there. Then he gets there. There's like a fence. Like a stone wall on one side, stone wall on the other side, gets lower, angel's in the middle, the donkey sees the angel, goes around, and he splashes Balaam's leg against the wall. Balaam gets a boo-boo, gives the donkey a zest. Third time, it gets lower, there's no room to go around, the donkey pops down in the middle of the road, he's not going anywhere. So Balaam starts hitting him, the donkey had enough of this. Hashem opens up the door of his mouth. What are you hitting me for? He said, did I ever do this to you before? Don't you realize that if I do this, I have a good reason for doing so? Aren't we close? I think the man says that Balaam is very close with his daughter.
You mean
like a wife?
Yeah.
There are other people there. There are other people there. He said, what do you mean you're close? We're not close, we're happy. The donkey says to Balaam, but Balaam didn't want people to hear. How close to him? And that's what he means. You always ride me. He says, no, I ride a donkey. He says, no, I'm the one you always ride. He says, okay, so I ride you. He says, never. We sleep in the same quarters. So he says, no, it's me, I'm the one. And he says, yeah, I'm your wife. You know, you're like, going away. He embarrassed him. He said, what do you think of me? And then the donkeys didn't tell him that there's an angel there with a sword. And then I should have opened up Balaam's eyes. And he sees, oh, there's an angel with a sword. Well, that's as far as we're going with this. But it always bothered me. A talking donkey is a real thing. When we like to project biblical figures on ourselves, if we would be there, what would be? It's wrong to do. If I would be there, my donkey would start talking to me. The last thing I would do is answer the donkey. Because if my donkey yelled at me, why are you hitting me for it? Did I ever do this before? I go, huh? I certainly wouldn't say, what do you want to hit you? You smashed my leg against the wall. There's something a little off about this, it bothered me. So I thought that because Balaam is such a Russia, He's not going to let America make an impact on him. That's what I thought. So I went to my rabbi of the gift and I asked him, I said, the reason why I'm doing this, it's like it's a flow, the conversation just flowed, you know? Just flowed. Because he was such a rasher? And my rabbi said, no. He said, you're 100% wrong. It's the other, it's the total, you have to go the total opposite direction. He said, you, if you'd be on the, this is what he told me, if you'd be on this donkey, so you'd be in shock. Because to you, the fact that people speak and donkeys don't speak is natural. That's the natural order of things. That's the way things are expected to be. So a donkey speaks, it shocks you. And it takes you time to compose yourself. He's a master of this language. But Bilam is a very high level. He's a Russian. But don't underestimate a Russian that's on a high level. He understood the secrets of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's universe. He did. Yes, he had. He was privy to the secrets of Hashem's universe. He's a master. He knew things that no one else knew. And he understood the power of speech. And to him, a human being, the speech of a human being is miraculous. A human being can stand and talk and express things. And express wisdom. And express things that come from beyond this world. No human being is capable of doing with speech. He could envision, or he could, with the power of his mind, he could understand spiritual things. The world of the spirits. Because the mind, there's no limit to what the mind could understand. And then he could express it in this world, what he understands with his mind. It's miraculous. It's miraculous. A prophet, yeah, talks to God, and then he could speak and say it in this world. The power of speech, it's a miracle. So human speech to Bilam is a miracle. So when the donkey speaks, it's also a miracle. He always lived with miracles. Teva and Nes. Nature and miracle are the same. People that are on a very high level, there's no difference. There's no distinction between Teva and Nes. It's just a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a very one way. And he constantly renews that role. And most of the time he wants to renew it in exactly the same way that it was. And then, for some reason otherwise, it happens otherwise. It's a due to Bilam's lofty level. It's a bright, a powerful point. Hello, it's like, but it's like a perspective. It's a bright, when the Gadol gives you a bright, one bright can change your perspective your entire life. And now you have that bright. First of all, you're a gifter. Three of the gifters, donkey. I'm pretty positive that donkey could speak.
That's what he's talking about.
Well, since you said that, I'll tell you another version of the gift. It's not 100% relevant, but there was a donkey named, I don't know what his name was, but he was owned by Yipinchas Ben Yair. The Gemara talks about him in the second Kul Dav Zayin. Talks about it. But the donkey seemed to be, he wasn't an ordinary donkey. He would take him to an inn, and the innkeeper would give Yipinchas Ben Yair food to eat, kosher food. And the innkeeper had some oats or something that he didn't take off from the mice. So he gave it to the donkey. I guess the innkeeper didn't feel that was a problem. According to Halakha, you have to feed your animals kosher food also. You have to feed them chumra masa. Not kosher food, but you have to feed them food that chumra masa was talking about. There's no chiyuv of chumra masa on animals. Talking about chumra masa. Now, non-kosher food you could. Chumra masa is if you're feeding them grain, you have to take off chumra masa. Worms is not chiyuv of chumra masa on. But there's no precaution. So there's no chumra taken off, so you take it off, yeah. So, that's right. If you're feeding your fish, sunflower seeds. Now in America, in America, You know, it's a problem because it's not an obligation to the Muslim America. Yeah. So here, you should buy
So when you buy a bag of seeds, you have 10% of the bag.
I would say that you should know what you're doing before you start doing something. It's not... No.
Go out and give it to all the
birds? No, it's a bird's like a Hanukkah. Kind of Kohen bird. The Kohen bird, before you start taking things off...
Should you give the
seeds
to the
Kohen? No, first you should learn about lachas. And if you don't know about lachas, then make sure there's a good supervision on the lachas, and you don't have to worry about it. Okay. So the animal did so, put it away. He sat down and he ate. And the donkey sits down and the donkey didn't eat. So the innkeeper said, why was the donkey eating? What kind of food did you give him? And the innkeeper said, well, I didn't take myself off the book. The book was my son. Oh, that's right. So his donkey is very special. The Gemara talks about our view of the previous generations. Our view of the previous generations. But we should not make the mistake of looking at the previous generations as equals. Because the closer you are to our Sinai, the greater you are. The closer you are to our Sinai, the greater you are. And the further away you get from our Sinai, the definition of what a human being is changes. Now, there was a great person I'm not sure I remember who it was. I think it was Rabbi Yael Lapiyah. Rabbi Lapiyah, he wrote a sefer in Rabbi Yael, or they wrote the sefer in Rabbi Yael. He was a mashkiach. He was a very, very good person. He lived in Israel in the 40s, 50s. There are people alive now that know about him. Rabbi Yael Lapiyah was a very good bar mitzvah. He was a very good student of the teachings of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And the Adarianism, the theory of evolution was it was prevalent. And lower Darwinism is the man and apes evolved along side by side similar evolutionary paths. And there's a common link to the missing link. And you know, apes and the human beings split at some point, and apes developed one way and humans developed another way. This is people say that Darwin proposed the man came from a monkey. He actually never said man came from a monkey, he said the man and monkey came from the same room. But it's all the same, you know, it's all the Irish guy. And what says... Yes, I mean, there were guys in TJ who went to the zoo, and they got banned from the zoo for life. Because they were banned for life. Because they took the monkeys out of TJ's mouth.
They
took a cigarette and they lit it and chucked it over. And then they lit up their own cigarette and they smoked, and the monkey picked it up and smoked it. And they got banned for life.
For life?
Yes. The zoo, the zoo. The zoo.
The monkeys were smart enough to know which side burns on the
side of the
filter.
I guess so.
How many years ago?
11 years ago.
I didn't
get
So,
Rabbi Yael Lapiyah said he understands Darwinism. He understands the theory of evolution. The man and apes evolved from the same evolutionary, source, origin. Because Darwin never saw a human being. And if someone never saw it, because there's no human beings nowadays. Because the human race, they act like animals. And if you still study the representative human race, so then you come to that conclusion. Does a monkey eat and a man eats? The monkey doesn't take and the man doesn't do. And the monkeys, they... And there's very little difference between the human being nowadays, in the time of Rabbi Yael Lapiyah, which is 20th century, and an ape, and you can see how one comes from the other. But he never saw a man, because he never saw Yisrael Salanter. But anybody that saw Yisrael Salanter saw a man. He's so much, you can never believe in animals. It has nothing to do with an animal.
I care that much if he's upset or not.
Some people don't even know this.
There's a Gemara Masechet Sota. This is the time of Mashiach.
Kvei
Ador Kipnei Akelah. The face of the generation will be like the face of the dog. And there's a lot of Mephashim on it. A lot of Mephashim. A dog is grazing, he doesn't have shame. So there's a lot of Mephashim on this. My Rabbi, his name is Rabbi Avraham Chaim Levin. He's doing Yeshiva in Chicago. He said that in the times previously, in the days of yore, you had to go to Mephashim to explain that Gemara, that the face of the generation should be like the face of a dog. Because you can't understand it literally. He said, but nowadays, you don't need Mephashim. The face of the generation is the face of a dog. You go outside, you see the way people look. They look like passionate dogs. They walk around without clothing, and they look like they're growling, and they're going to bark, and they attack, and they bite. He said, Pashim Shab! Pashim Shab! And this was in the 1970s. 30 years later? Pashim Shab. So anyway, so the Gemara says, when you talk about previous generations, you can't compare yourself to them. They're not smarter than you, they're a totally different level. And the Gemara says, Ima Rishayim Kimalachim, if you view the earlier generations like angels, so that you deserve to be called a person. Because at least you can see straight. So you see that you're like a person, and the previous generations, they're in a level of angels. But if you view the generations prior, that those people were just like us, the Benegam was just like us. He just made a little bit more Torah. And the Kibbeger was just like us. He's just a little smarter. And the Chabad Chaim was just like us. He kept halacha b'ara. He didn't take question b'ara. But he's just like us. If that's the way you view them, the good people, Sa'atim kechamorim. Sayyir chamor. And the Gemara writes, V'lei kechamor shepirchas b'yor. But you're not like Pirchas b'yor's chamor. What's the Gemara? So my Rabbi, Rabbi Gittor, he used to tell us this Gemara. He said, what's wrong with this Gemara? Why does the Gemara have to bring in? He said, because it's not Geschmack. You know what the word Geschmack means? It's not an enjoyable experience. To be called a Gemara. It doesn't give itself well to the English language, to be translated into the English language. It's Geschmack. Geschmack is Geschmack. Geschmack is like the it's better than that. It's like the grips after the child. It's a Geschmack, like the grips. A good grips after the child. That's Geschmack.
That's a
grips. That's a grips?
Oh.
If you don't know what the grips after the child is, I have to check out your yichus.
I'm not a child.
Why not? That's what I said. I have to check out your yichus. So the... Because it's not Geschmack to be called a Chamor. So a person tells me, reads the Gemara, so he'll say, okay, the Gemara's making a metaphor. I'm not a Chamor, but I'm a special Chamor, I'm not an observable Chamor. I'm not like a Chamor. I'm not I'm a unique Chamor. I'm a Chamor, I'm going to be a unique Chamor. So the Gemara knew that people are going to think like that. The Gemara says, no. You're not special. You're not like the Chamor with Pirchas Ben Yair. You're just a person of faith. A person of Chamor. You're just a straight, average, ordinary Chamor. You're not a special Chamor. That's what he used to say. You have no shakas to Shimon. No shakas to anything. No shakas to Kedusha. No shakas to Seichel. If the original generations are people in your eyes, then you're not even a special. Okay. Let's go to the last paragraph here. It will be Messiah in the parak. Rambam, Adav is a name of B'Shurash of Ayanim. We've been talking about the spiritual realm. We're talking about the roots of the creation. We're going deep, we're going beyond the curtain here. Rache Kela, because there, but then does come down to earth. Mishtash to Mishtashas, there's a chain. The word chain is used a lot in this realm. Chain is a very good metaphor because there's links in the chain. So we don't, if you're holding the bottom of chain, you're not touching the top link. You're touching a low. Perfect. Perfect. O plus. It's called a Machshava cup. The Nikmat Ram, the Gashmias Kerovahan, on the bottom of Shavas Gashmias. I like using a muscle of a Barana Malkis. You ever have that going to Barana Malkis? That's all right, okay. And then you shake the top mark, the bottom marker, and it goes and shakes the top marker. Well, I'm going to learn what Kidra Makzikros and the Kutra Matibi, it does come down to this earth. And the Eish Reita Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yigzal Pekidra Ma'at, Hashem does not decree on the Ruhara to spread. Hashem decrees on the Mala that his job should change. The Mala is a new assignment. Beyond the Mitzavkina, stop doing what you're doing. Stop giving water that authority. You're standing on Lech and the TV, who must deal with Magzora. So Magzora is on the Malach, and the Malach is empowered that when he's recreating the water, he recreates the water according to the new instructions. If Kareshi shall go as Magzora, he would drink her shame if you happen to remember the rules. She took you to Russia, commits his Malach alone. So it can come in different ways. It could come in a way that, an orderly fashion, that it could appear on this earth, in an orderly fashion, and the change of nature should appear as if, you know, when you see the change, the king obviously gave different instructions, and it's very well understood, and it's clear, even though there is a change, but it's an orderly change, a change with the Seder. Like a guy's Moshe says, Hashem's will can appear in this world like a ruler who rules over his nation or his kingdom by force, and he got angry. And we all know what that looks like when the ruler gets angry with his subjects and all of a sudden things can start changing. And sometimes that happens in this world. The way the Yamsuf reacted was as if there was like a yell and a shout, and the Yam just jumped back and, you know, come out of here, you know. So it could happen in different ways. A call of the Yam is Mama. This which is some tomorrow, we're not learning. We're not learning tomorrow, right?
We're not
learning. We're not to, there's Master tomorrow, so.
Oh, okay.